Finovate showcases cutting-edge banking and financial technology through a global conference series featuring short-form demos and thought leadership. Now, the conversation continues on the Finovate podcast.
Welcome to the Finovate podcast. This is Greg Palmer, and joining me today, we have Dan Lattimore, the Chief Research Officer of Solent. You may have seen Dan on stage at some of our Finovate events in the past during our analyst all-star sessions. Dan, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
My pleasure, Greg.
So there are a couple of really huge shocks to the system coming through right now, and that's why we wanted to get your thoughts as someone who has been keeping a close eye on fintech over the last little bit. You're watching the way coronavirus is coming through. You're watching the impending recession that is being brought about by some of the responses to the coronavirus, which we're all having to take. You know, you're calling in from home. I'm doing this in my home as well. And it's really interesting, I think, to try and get some thoughts on what this means for fintech and how we find a new way forward with all of these huge changes. And so I'd like to start by just kind of opening it up to you and saying, you know, what are you seeing as a result of these two huge shocks to the system? And what does this mean for fintech going forward?
Well, first, thanks for having us, Greg. And I'd start with the caveat that in a couple of weeks or even next week, our views may change radically as information comes in day by day. But I think overall, our general impression is that these two events you reference, COVID and the recession, are going to accelerate a lot of things and just compress the time frame that they're happening in. So we talk a lot about there rarely being hockey sticks with respect to consumer behavior. This is the exception that proves the rule. There are going to be a lot of hockey sticks. So there is going to be an acceleration of consumers moving over to digital financial services interaction because they just don't have any choice. And then once they see that working, they'll have gotten over the adoption hump and they'll keep using it, we believe. This is going to accelerate the winnowing process of the fintech herd. So just like there were dozens of railroads and only a few survived in the 19th century, there have been hundreds of fintechs, only dozens will survive, and we're going to see that process accelerate as well. I think another related aspect that will occur is an accelerated move away from cash as people realize that they can, in fact, pay for things with contactless, whether it's credit cards or their phone, and they no longer have to touch this disease vector, which is paper money. So that acceleration in many different areas is the dominant theme we see coming from COVID-19 and the impending recession.
No, I think that's great. And a couple of really key, interesting points to talk through there. Let's come back to the consumer behavior one, because I think that's one where, you know, we look at fintech as an industry, and this is one where you could say fintech has kind of struggled. We live in this bubble where we look at these technologies and think this is really cool. And then there's this disconnect, because a lot of times what we see, you know, on the Finovate stage and think, wow, that's excellent, doesn't get adopted in the way that we would necessarily expect it to. And, you know, something like this sort of does bring about that forced change in consumer behavior, which does open the door for someone to come in and step through. You know, do you think in some sense that this is, you know, that you could say that's a good thing for fintech, because we've got now this, for the first time maybe, this real motivation, this strong motivation on the part of the consumers to actually examine technology that exists now that maybe has existed for a little bit, but they just haven't had a reason to get comfortable with it. You know, is that a net positive for fintech, or is there some other aspects that we need to be more careful of?
You know, I'm not smart enough to be able to weigh up all the net positives and negatives and see what they total out to. I will say that I think it's going to be an opportunity for those fintechs who are able to weather this storm and stick around long enough. You know, one of the reasons that people do not adopt these new technologies is that their old stuff that they're comfortable with and used to continues to work. And we're at the stage where that is no longer necessarily the case. So if a fintech has got a good solution that provides a worthwhile alternative to something that no longer works, and they've got the distribution, then I think they're in good shape. I think, you know, if they don't have deals already set up in terms of either direct to consumer or arranged with banks, you know, I think over the next couple of weeks at least, maybe next month, there's going to be a hiatus. And the question is, when will banks be open to embarking on new deals? And I think that's at least a month out, and a lot can change between now and then.
No, it's true. It's, you can see where the banks would be coming from, because on the one hand, you think there's a crazy time here. We need to try and, you know, just shore up our cash reserves, play it conservatively, and just sort of freeze for a minute. I suppose the counter argument would be that it's never been more important to have strong digital offerings, and that every financial institution needs to make sure that they're able to engage their customers wherever they are, because some customers will have the choice, right? You know, I no longer feel like I want to go into a bank branch. I no longer feel like I want to engage with cash, as you pointed out earlier. And I see that my bank has some, you know, offerings that can help prevent that. Some banks don't. Some banks are already a little bit behind there. Do you think that those banks need to try and catch up? Do they need to try and engage digitally and maybe accelerate their digital plans? Or do you think for banks who haven't already sort of gotten where they maybe, you know, should have gotten to, is it better for them to sort of sit and wait this out and try and re-engage in a month or two when things have settled down a little bit?
Well, yeah, this is clearly one of those areas of acceleration, which is not only consumers adopting digital banking, but those banks who have to date lagged, and very often it's the smaller ones. Our view is that they've got very little choice now but to engage most likely with their incumbent providers and get a digital offering out there. And if they can't do it in the next month, and that's going to be very tough, but at least make the announcement that they are moving in that direction.
Yeah. And I think there's some pressure there. And to come back to your other point, you know, the second point that you kind of raised at the onset here, there is going to be, you know, a thinning of the herd, right? From both the fintech side, and I think from a financial institution side, we've sort of seen the number of banks, you know, the overall number of banks in the United States kind of on this contraction curve. And is that something else that potentially gets accelerated here, that we see some of that, you know, kind of hockey stick change here as well?
Yeah, at the macro level, I don't know how much more the decline in the number of overall banks is going to accelerate because of this. I think that is going to play out over the next couple of quarters. But, you know, banks right now are really focused on their core businesses, their loan portfolio, and the consumer-facing fintech is a priority. But right now, the very fundamental stuff is, you know, what happens when the first of the month rolls around and they start to see what their mortgage delinquencies look like.
Yeah, well, that's going to be, I think, some, you know, a lot of people will be watching that very closely, because there are already some extremely worrying signs in the United States and other countries as well around, you know, the ripple effect for, you know, the massive number of people who are filing for unemployment, who, you know, haven't been. And so, you know, I think, you know, there are clearly quite a few competing levers and competing threads pulling in different directions here. So let's talk about, you know, the kind of positive side of this. I think, you know, when you have this kind of change, it does come with some opportunities. And there are, I think, opportunities out there to be taken from both a fintech standpoint and a financial institution standpoint. What opportunities do you see starting to come into realization that maybe didn't exist even as recently as, you know, January 2020?
Well, one is going to be an explosion of new data related to a completely new phase of the economic cycle. You know, this is unprecedented, and what happens during this time is going to provide an incredibly rich trove of data to be analyzed and acted upon over time. I think the other bit is going to be in terms of opportunity, just this chance to forge new relationships. We're going to be, and a lot of people already are, unfortunately, experiencing incredible hardship. And for those institutions, and I think it's mainly going to be those, frankly, with balance sheets rather than that many of the fintechs, although the fintechs might be able to help on some of the underwriting that has to be done. But this is going to be a chance for banks with that kind of risk appetite to forge relationships for life if they can, you know, defer their payback for a little while.
Yeah. No, I think that's really astute. And I also think that, you know, the amount of data that we have is obviously limited because of, you know, the past 10 years of virtually, you know, uninterrupted growth. And that's where all of our models and predictive things are coming from with that data. Does AI now get a lot smarter because we have some new diverse data to feed into it?
It will over time. It won't happen overnight because the results will have to play out. But yeah, I think there are going to be a host of new insights that play out over the next couple of quarters.
Yeah. So then switching gears and looking at the kind of negative side, you know, there's some opportunities that exist, but there are clearly some dangers that exist now as well. We sort of hinted at a couple of them already in this talk, but what do you see as sort of the biggest things that banks and fintechs need to be aware of from, you know, new dangers, new pitfalls, things that they have to avoid?
I think that one of the biggest areas of danger is retreating too much into a defensive mode and really just taking a siege mentality. And it's a natural kind of activity. And I don't want to be a Pollyanna, but I do think that there are going to be opportunities, and there's certainly going to be those customers, both consumers, small and medium businesses, who are going to need help. And, you know, I think by taking too defensive a posture, banks can end up, ironically, kind of stranding themselves over time and not being positioned well when things get back to normal.
Yeah. Well, that bell means that we've reached the end of our time. But I think I absolutely agree that one of the big dangers is retreating too much and trying to adopt too defensive of a position. You know, this is an opportunity for people to go out and grab something to create that kind of connection with their customers, that you might forge a relationship for life. If you treat people in the right way here, you might be able to accelerate digital adoption. If you kind of run the opposite direction, it could very well end up doing quite a bit of harm long term. So, well, Dan, as always, thank you for sharing your thoughts with our audience, and good luck to you as you weather the storm from your home. And we will be excited and maybe a little bit scared to see what unfolds here over the next couple of months.
Thanks very much, Greg. Right back at you. Good luck to you and yours.
Thank you.
The Finovate podcast is produced by Informa Connect in association with Provoke.fm Media. Check out Finovate.com for information on Finovate's upcoming shows and to learn how you can get involved. The discount code Finovate Podcast will save you 20% on tickets to all of our events. And you can email us at info@finovate.com for information on sponsoring, speaking, or demoing. Thanks for listening.